Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And this morning, I also will give special shout out to Pepsi because they did something for me that was really super-duperty nice. Pepsi brought me a 12-pack of Mug sugar-free, zero-sugar root beer, which I absolutely adore. And so I'm enjoying that, and it's now on the shelves. Took a while for them to get restocked, but it's now on the shelves in Quincy, and so we're looking forward to that. Everybody can get some Mug Zero Sugar. How's that? Do you like Mug Zero Sugar, Rob Mellon?
Have I actually just bought some yesterday.
Yeah, so it's off the shelf
again. It's interesting that you said that. You know, I have to watch the caffeine, so,
I know it works out well. But you can do it. You can do it.
Yes,
I know you can. Well, we have got jam-packed. I mean, jam-packed doesn't even begin to say it. The Historical Society, now that Rob is back, not that they didn't do a good job while he was gone and deployed. Thank you, Colonel Mellon, for your service. But, boy, now that he's back, things are really hopping. And another nurse, not just another nurse, but Loretto Eno. Another Nurse, Another War, a presentation by Arla Stittmer, Wednesday, March 12th. We are excited for this, looking forward to this, because Loretta Eno has several things named after her in Quincy.
She does.
But a lot of people don't know who she is. And as we age and that World War II generation passes, these people just start passing into history with, I've kind of heard that name, but don't know anything about her. So you can educate yourself on Wednesday, March 12th at John Wood Community College. It's an evening meeting. The Historical Society and John Wood are teaming up to do these once a month.
That's right.
And it had been canceled last month, I think.
We did, unfortunately.
That was
the
bad weather.
That was the bad weather day. And
but we'll reschedule that one, I'm sure, sometime soon.
We are trying our best, but this one's really interesting. Arla Stittmer will give the talk, and of course, she'd been a nurse and been involved in healthcare her entire life. So, and the story's really interesting. She was at Pearl Harbor, but she did many more things after that in our community.
So, a Pearl Harbor survivor, one of the people
right.
who helped those survive. And if you've ever seen the movie Pearl Harbor, I think one of the most moving parts for me was when the nurses were overwhelmed. Of course, this was a surprise attack. They had limited amount of morphine. They had limited amount of pain-killing drugs. So they were taking their lipsticks, and they were marking M on the forehead of patients that had received a morphine dose. So, A, they wouldn't overdose them, and B, I'm sorry, buddy, one dose may be all we can give you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope we can get you fixed up and get feeling better because we're having trouble until emergency supplies arrive. And just the moving aspect of that, what would you do if you were overwhelmed? So we're going to learn about Loretta Eno's life, all of her life, not just the Pearl Harbor experience. But that is Wednesday night, March 12th, 6 p.m. for a social hour and 6:30 for the program. Arla Stittmer will do a great job. Now we have found out after the first one of these that folks want to stay and talk, but problem is John Wood says, excuse us, at 2 a.m. we're going to have to kick you out. You just can't stay here for the rest of the day.
That's right, yeah.
So the Historical Society has come up with something to assuage those people who want to discuss this more. The next day.
The next day, yeah. We'll just have it at the Historical Society office right at 12th and State, the Visitor Center. We got some really nice rooms in there now. We're going to have coffee, and which we do every day, and donuts, and then we can discuss the presentation. And as you mentioned, the first presentation, we had so much feedback of people saying, we'd really like to discuss this. So that's where we came up with this day after discussion.
The morning brew and review.
The morning brew. That was Nancy, our new museum manager. She came up with that phrase. It's nice.
It is
morning
nice.
Brew and review.
Morning brew and review, the day after discussion. And so that is going to be then on Thursday morning at 420 South 12th Street, and they have a wonderful coffee machine there.
We do.
And they have wonderful, beautiful seating and a chance to sit around and just confer with those who are interested in historical topics.
Right. There's a lot of guys locally and ladies who like to meet and talk over coffee in the morning sometimes, so this is just one of those opportunities.
Well, it's a great opportunity. And the other thing about it is, you know, again, sometimes when you go to meet for coffee, you never know what to talk about. But here you've got a topic already put out for you, the amazing life of Loretta Eno. And, of course, if it turns into other world topics, we're not going to stop any discussion.
That's right.
And that's how you stay open until what, 4 in the afternoon?
So we do, but that'll be in the morning.
Yeah.
So like,
well, no, I'm saying, you know, you might have to kick them out.
I might have to say, get me.
Yeah. So it's morning brew and review. So when the clock strikes noon, you might take a cue. Get out. No, they'll let you stay for as long as you want. That is for sure. Then are we ready to go into... April, let's just mention April.
Sure.
April 9th, Wednesday night, Medical Maladies of Abraham Lincoln, with a good friend of the Mary Griffith Show, Dr. George Crickard. He loves talking about this.
He does.
Did he have Marfan syndrome? Did he not have Marfan syndrome? Was he depressed? Was he not depressed? If I was married to Mary Lincoln, I'd be depressed. But, you know, just because you think I spend a lot of money, Bears fan, wait till this lady gets a hold of your checkbook. So anyway, we'll find out from Dr. George Crickard, and that's April 9th, program again at 6:30, social hour at 6 at John Wood Community College. And then, of course, after that, morning brew and review.
That's right. That's a great setting, too.
Yeah,
the auditorium's amazing.
It is. 350 people can fit in there. So as long as all the chairs aren't broken the first time there's morning brew and review, they'll continue to have it for the rest of the year. Okay, something coming up. Not much information available, but I'm sure Rob Mellon will piece together what I need to know. The welcome party for the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County's Golden Collective.
So
what in the heck is this about?
Well, Golden Collective, it's a new company. It's a couple of young professionals who've had these products. I think people have probably seen the Woodland Cemetery sweatshirts and the Washington Park sweatshirts. I got one for my wife for Christmas. And so what they're going to do is they're going to have some of their products available because they don't have a storefront, and they're going to have them available at the museum gift shop. So Golden Collective products will be available at the History Museum gift shop, and we're really excited about that. And that's just their opening, grand opening, officially for them particularly. So we're kind of excited about getting new products, local products and stuff into our gift shop.
So it has nothing to do with Golden, Illinois?
No.
Although Golden,
no.
Illinois could be part of it.
Absolutely.
So this is the Golden Collective, meaning... throwback-looking shirts,
yep.
Commemorative items from the history of this local area, or I'm sure they would take special orders if you were having something. So is it always clothing, or is it mugs? Is it?
They got a few other items. I mean, they're just kind of getting started.
Okay.
And I know that a lot of people locally have really liked the products that have been produced so far, like the sweatshirts and stuff like that, and they do a great job. And so this is just a place for them to sell their products, because in the museum we like to do all local products and all local books, and so this was just a good partnership.
Well, that is one thing we don't talk about enough. The fact that if you're looking for a gift, especially for someone who lived in Quincy and now has moved away, what a wonderful gift, a book or a product, a mug, or you have some Afghan throws, you've got all kinds of t-shirts and sweatshirts, you know, I said books, even some jewelry that's made locally that, you know, kind of has a theme to it. This is all available at the History Museum store at 4th and Main. We don't talk about that enough.
Not very much,
but
it's there.
But we need to do that. So this Saturday, March 15th, not this Saturday, but on Saturday, March 15th from 10 to 2, come enjoy light refreshments and meet the people who own the Golden Collective. They're not from Golden, Illinois. they will be selling themed products to benefit, of course, themselves and the History Museum. I'm sure
that's
you'll
right.
get some benefit out
we
of
do,
it, Rob.
We do.
You don't
we
ever
do.
Do anything just for nothing, do you?
We do a lot of things for nothing.
Okay. You do everything for nothing.
But just about everything for nothing.
Just thought I'd throw that
but
in there.
But every once in a while, we have to pay the bills, unfortunately, and we've got a big project going on.
Now it's even sunnier since you cut down the tree, so I'm going to have to... start wearing this summer. Are you going to pay for air conditioning for this studio? We need a window unit now. The Newcomb Hotel burned down. You've cut down the trees. I'm going to be sweltering in here. It's going to be like being in a sauna.
There'll be new trees.
There'll
be new trees.
There will be new trees. They'll be so much better than the old trees. okay. So also, if you don't go to brew and review, but you just want to see what the visitor center is like at the John Wood Mansion, they're having their conference room reveal.
We got a great donation. It's amazing. It really is. And I hope that our conference, our spaces, will be available to all nonprofits if they want to have meetings and stuff there. So it'll be a community location that people can use. And on that event, we're just going to kind of reveal the conference room, the reimagined, remodeled conference room. And we're also going to have our videos that we're working with the schools with, that we're providing the schools. They'll be previewed. And then if you know the Governor's Post always has a recipe, we're going to have some of those recipes available for people to taste. So it's just a nice little afternoon event, 2 o'clock, and it's open house style, so people can come and go as they like, and you can taste some of those recipes and see our new conference room, and you might find it's perfect space for your group to come in and have a meeting or something of that nature.
Will you be charging if they have a meeting?
Nonprofits, no. So that's one of the things.
Very lovely.
Well, you know, and that's like part of our responsibility is, you know, we're trying to support the entire community. And this is since we have those spaces and other places do not, then they can use those. Now, if it's after hours, we have to work something out because
But you might have to pay for a custodian or some volunteer to come and be there. And we understand that. But by and large, it's free. Now, I know you can't just cram everybody in there. It's a smaller space. But if you just have a meeting of what would you say the maximum capacity would be for some kind of get-together kind of thing? Would it be 20 people, 30 people?
Well, if you go into that location now, the room to the right has been completely redone, and it's in a lounge setting. That's about 10 to 15. You can have larger things in there if, like the Friends and Council have been in there before and their whole group had fit in there. I was kind of surprised, but I'm like, okay, we fit quite a few people in there, but that's about 10 or 15. I would say on the other side,
West side?
What used to be the old meeting room with the old green carpet, it's gone. But that's probably about 40 people.
You got rid of the green carpet?
The green carpet is gone.
Rob, you're supposed to preserve history.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a piece of history. It's an artifact now.
I hope you saved a square.
We saved a square.
Good. So the western side.
Yes.
How many people can sit there?
Oh, I bet about 40. It depends on what you're doing. If you we have
40.
A conference table, about 20. But if you want to use the whole room, there's a kitchen in there, I'd say about 40.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, sorry, folks, no green carpet, but I'm sure whatever they put down, it'll be perfectly fine.
You have to come. It's really cool looking.
I just teased my husband. I'm taking over his house and even his garage a little bit at a time. And down at Save More Carpets in the Carpet and Rug Gallery, they found a piece of pink shag carpeting that was an area rug, and for some reason they hadn't been able to sell it for several years. And I said, oh, I'll take it. And so my husband's garage now has got pink shag carpeting in it. And you know, it's so cheap, remnants are so cheap that we actually buy carpeting remnants and put them in our garage, and then we walk on them in the winter and get, you know, all gunk gets off your feet before you get into the house. Method to our madness,
yes.
You know, or we're just so fabulously wealthy that we can wall-to-wall carpet our garage in pink shag, but you decide which it is. Anyway, this conference room reveal, apparently it's just going to be shrouded in black until then, is Sunday, March 23rd from 2 to 4. Come join them, and maybe if you have a small group meeting and you're looking for a place to have some events, this would be perfect for you. Okay.
We've already had some visitors come in and they're like, oh, our group could really use this. So I think it's going to be a good space for that.
I think it is. And thank God I think it is, because if it wasn't, you'd have to stop everything you were doing and change the whole thing. Who are we kidding? Okay. Now, we don't want to get confused here because the Historical Society is doing so much.
That's right.
You have your John Wood series, which is co-sponsored by John Wood at night.
And the Bicentennial Commission.
And the Bicentennial Commission once
right.
a month. But then on your own, you're continuing your Sunday series.
We did, yes.
So, folks, this is a lot to pack in.
It is.
You know,
but
they're all good and they're
all
worthwhile.
A lot of things to do if you're interested in history.
Okay, so I don't want to miss. Am I doing it out of order? No. Is the next one in April, or where's the
That one's in April. That's with Dr. Hodel, and it's the artist John Quitter. So so we basically what we've decided to do is we've kind of nixed our trivia night.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, there's just so many going on, and we didn't want to. You know, we just thought we'd do something a little bit different this year.
Could you tell me before I made a special ad for you?
Yes.
I'm putting a big X across it. Rob, epic
That
fail.
Was just determined,
unfortunately. This is a colonel in the United States Army, by the way. So I didn't get the message that the launch code had been changed. So I'm sorry, Ukraine, the bombs are on their way. Okay, canceled.
Yes,
okay.
But in April we have at the Art Center. So we like to do these cooperative type situations with other local museums and groups and things like that. So that'll be Dr. Hodel, and it's about John Quitter, which a lot of people may not know. He is an artist from the early 19th century, 1850s, I think, is when he was here. But he's known for painting The Headless Horseman, Rip Van Winkle. I mean, some really iconic paintings, and he had lived in Quincy. Originally from New York, but lived in Quincy for a number of years, and they ended up going back to New York. But Dr. Hodel will talk about John Quitter.
Okay, Quidor. What an interesting name.
Yes.
John Quitter. And the presentation will be by Dr. Patrick Hodel, who is wonderful. And that'll be Sunday, April 13th at 2 p.m. at the Art Center.
That's right.
1515 Jersey. Not at the Senior Center, but at the Art Center. And then that'll be absolutely fantastic. Is there one in March? No, the Loretta. What's
Loretta,
in March?
Loretta. Well, in March, we were going to do the trivia night.
Oh, that's right. But you're not going to. Okay.
We just, there were a lot of them going on. And so
I think, 8 this morning on the calendar. So, yeah, you're right. The community calendar is just stuffed full.
Especially with the bicentennial year. And
yeah.
Someone was going to do a bicentennial one, and that was what our theme was going to be. So we decided, let's just...
The Shriners are doing it out at the Belgian Hitch. So that's tomorrow night. So if you really want to do the Reg Ankrum curated questions...
Yes.
You know, how many questions... Okay, here's a trivia question for you. Of all the questions asked tomorrow night at the Belgian Hitch, how many will be related to Stephen Douglas? Out of 100, what percentage will be related to Stephen
Douglas? No, in Reg,
Douglas?
It'll be a high percentage.
Yeah.
He weaves them in. He actually wrote an article about John Quitter, and he weaved in Stephen Douglas because one of John Quitter's students or acolytes painted a painting of Stephen Douglas. So he's always got ways to get Stephen Douglas into the conversation.
If you want to win tomorrow night at the Belgian Hitch, you better get...
Beef up on Stephen Douglas.
You better get Reg Ankrum's 3-book trilogy on Stephen Douglas, because I'm sure he's going to have a lot of Stephen Douglas questions there. Rob, is there anything else for the good of the cause? Because now that you've cut the tree down, I'm sweating, and I need to take a break and go out into... the air conditioning.
Well, you probably saw a lot of kids coming by.
I did see a lot
of
children.
I mean, we've had a lot of school groups. I will say we did have one circumstance. Sometimes we don't live up to our expectations. And we had a child with disabilities who couldn't partake in the school program.
Mm.
It was really heartbreaking for us because our lift on the side wasn't working. It's old and antiquated. This is a reason why we're doing the construction project just in the beginning. Just to start with, but that was a circumstance that, you know, really kind of breaks your heart thinking the student had to stay back at school and all the other students got to come to the museum.
That does break my heart. But a year from now, that won't be a problem.
That's what we're really excited
about. Because
you started
construction on your brand new addition. And folks, you know, as much as they want to preserve history, and they are going to preserve the look and the facade of this beautiful building at 4th and Main.
That's right.
They are building a state-of-the-art
entrance
that, and we'll have more meeting space, we'll have handicap accessible restrooms.
That's the main thing.
And so they'll never have to turn anybody away. And so this is so critically important, and they are still collecting money for it. So if you have some extra cash and you really want to put it towards a good cause, the History Museum would love to see that happen. Make your check out to the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County, put in the memo that it's for the expansion, and they would love to have it. Rob, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
You made me cry at the end there. But that's okay. We're headed up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative to see what's happening on the farm markets today. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We have guests in the studio today to talk about the Quincy Community Theater production of Waitress, which is so exciting. It opens on Pi Day, 314. Yes, not pie like you eat, but pie like the mathematical equation, which also happens to be Katrina Plouffe's birthday. She's directing the whole thing. So we're going to learn all about Katrina because she's not from around here, from what I understand. Where do you hail from, Katrina?
I come from away. I come from...
Ireland, all the way from Ireland.
Almost. I come from the coast of Maine.
How fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't get a real good lobster in Quincy, but that's okay. We're working on it. Every once in a while, the patio will fly some in. Probably on the same flight you took to get to Quincy. That would be great. Okay, we're also joined by Allison Schaefer. Allison is the choreographer for Waitress. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll talk to you in just a little bit, okay?
Love it.
We'll give Katrina... The director always gets first billing. Isn't that unfair? Because everybody raves about the costumes all the time.
That's right.
So you've come from Maine to be the director of Waitress, and it opens on the 14th of March. I will be seeing it that very night. Usually I go on Saturday, but I had another commitment. I had to change my tickets. I mean, everything's going on that weekend, but sometime that weekend or the next, be sure to get in and see Waitress. Tell us about Waitress, from your point of view, what is the show Waitress about?
I think it's about being faced with really hard choices and thinking them through and finding a way to take the right turn. It's about something we all do, all of us do.
No matter what age we are, no matter what our profession, whether we're a waitress or not, mm-hmm. we all have to go through this dilemma.
Right. Every single one of us is going to find ourselves at a fork in the road. And if we're lucky, we're going to be able to have pie while we make the decision. Because Waitress is the story of a woman who is a renowned pie baker. She works as a waitress in a diner in a small southern town. And she bakes pies that she names according to where she is situated in her life.
Oh, how wonderful.
I know.
Can you tell us that or would it ruin the story?
I can certainly tell you that, she has one pie called White Knuckle Pie.
Oh, okay. I think we've all been there. So
yes,
that's
ma'am.
The idea. And how fortunate that it opens on Pi Day, March 14th, which happens to be your birthday,
I know,
too.
Isn't that fun?
Will you, now this is insider information, only a great actress like I would know, but a lot of times the director doesn't even stay for opening night because they've done their duty, and then it's up to the stage manager and everybody else to carry through. Will you be here on your birthday, or will you be back in Maine?
So I will be here because I am the world's best audience.
You want to
and
make sure.
I can't wait. People always
say to me. Have
you
got your own electric applause sign?
Right. Like, okay. People say to me all the time, oh, I can't wait to see your show. And I say, I can't either. Like, I want to be there and watch that play come to life with you guys, with the audience of Quincy in the room.
And under, I told them not to do that way, but... It must be the Mary Griffith syndrome. That actress is going to do whatever she wants to do, no matter how many times I tell her not to do that. Yes, I am not cast in Waitress. But I'm interested because when people come from far away, I'd love to hear what their impressions are of Quincy. First and foremost, how the heck did you even hear that our little bitty community theater here in the Midwest needed your services? How do you find out about things like that?
So it's just like any other industry, right? It's just like any other business. A friend reached out to me and said, hey, I think you should throw your name in the hat because this is a beautiful theater with great people. And you're a woman, and a woman should direct Waitress. And so that's literally, that's how I get 90% of my jobs.
You're good, and people know you're good, and they say, hey, you'd be good for this. They've had a good experience mm-hmm. with Quincy. What is your impression of our theater? Because we still get stigmatized by the community theater. And we used to be the little theater when we had a little theater. Now we have a big theater. Mm-hmm. And I have heard people say, oh, I wouldn't go there. I don't want to see community theater. I want to see professional theater. I said, well, I got news for you. I go to the Fox a lot in St. Louis, and I've been to Chicago, and stuff we put on is pretty damn good, sometimes better. Mm-hmm. I think our Jesus Christ Superstar beat the pants off the Fox. It's just my personal opinion. I wasn't even in the show. So what is your impression about what we have here? How much of a gem is that, and do you think people appreciate it enough?
No. I think what you have is extraordinary. I mean, I direct 5, 6, sometimes 7 plays a year, and I direct all over the country. And when I walked into your theater, it was the worst possible day. Like, it could not have been colder or uglier or, like, what am I doing here? Because I'm from Maine, but I am based in Florida right now. So here I am. It's January. I can't see myself because there's snow and it's freezing rain. And I walk in and I think, am I dreaming? This is the most beautiful facility. And then that day I get greeted by amazing people like Allison and Burgundy Hill, who's the executive director. And then I sit through my first night of auditions and the talent just keeps walking in the door. And I went home that night and I called a friend and I said, here I am again. These Midwestern towns have extraordinary theater in them. And their theaters are loved and appreciated and valued. This facility is gorgeous. These people are lovely, and I can't wait to get started.
Okay, well, come back and pick a show that features dumpy middle-aged women who can't remember lines, and I will star in that for you, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Start looking now.
Thank you very much. It's a long
search. It might take me a while to find that way, but I will look for it.
I'll write my own one-woman show. Okay. Allison Schaefer, let's get to you, because choreography, costuming, the things that sometimes we don't notice, but we do notice, we just don't think we notice, because if you're really doing your job right, we just go, wow. But it doesn't detract from the show. It just adds that layer.
So talk
about choreography as it purports to waitress.
Absolutely. Well, I believe 100% that good choreography furthers a story. It's not that we stop the show and all of a sudden we do these fancy dance moves. Every move, every sweep through the space has a purpose. And so it's been interesting with Waitress, because it is a newer piece, trying to find what that sweep of choreography is. We have an amazing ensemble, and they are tasked with both being patrons in the diner, so kind of that traditional role of an ensemble, but they are also what we are calling Jenna's muses, Jenna being the lead waitress. And so how they assist and kind of nudge her along as she navigates some of these situations in the play have been really fascinating to find that movement style that helps best support that part of the story.
One thing, as an actress myself and longtime supporter of the community theater, we've had some people in the past who have just said, oh, we're doing, you know, Guys and Dolls or The Sound of Music, so we're going to do the exact choreography that you saw in the movie, or we're going to do the exact choreography that started on Broadway. Obviously, when you do a play, you have to say the words pretty close to what the playwright wanted. When you do choreography for something like Waitress, are you taking what was originally choreographed and changing it slightly? Are you doing it exactly the same? Or is it your vision of what that choreography should be? How much leeway do you have as a choreographer?
We have as much leeway as we want. And my preference is always to create my own work, and also I like to create it on the actors we have, and so that's going to individualize it as well. We don't want to take what Sarah Bareilles and everyone did on Broadway and just drop that into our production. We would like to tell our story. Now, sometimes that can be helpful because the materials that you get don't necessarily explain things, and so sometimes it's nice to go back and reference that and say, oh, that's why that's there.
That move has to be there to explain something, a plot.
Yes.
Some moves have to explain the plot.
Exactly.
And so you're not copying it, but there's sometimes when that move is pretty integral
yes.
to that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but basically it's from your mind.
Yes, the little dancers in my head, they're very active.
What the dancers that you have to work with can do. Witness, I am not a part of Waitress. Okay, we don't have to keep going over that movie. We know you failed. We know you didn't get a part. Don't be bitter all the time. So when people go to see this, and we want to definitely hawk tickets, because We have this conundrum at the community theater. As past president of the board, I can tell you. If we do things everybody knows, Sound of Music, then people want to come because they've heard of it. But then they say, you did the same thing, and it's something I've already seen, and I've already seen the movie 100 times. If we did something new, like Waitress, they'll go, I don't know anything about that. Why would I go to that? So tell people, Madam Director, please, why should we come to Waitress and see something new that we've never seen at Quincy Community Theater?
Why do you go see the next Spider-Man movie?
Well, I don't, but go on with your analogy. Because it's something new.
That's right. Why can't we use that same measuring stick for theater? Do you listen to a new song?
Never.
Right.
No. You do. Of course you do.
You're a huge fan of Beyonce. Do you jump to download her new recording?
Certainly. Probably harder. See a whole different side of her.
Yeah.
See a whole different side of her.
Have you had a great experience at Quincy Community Theater before, or you know someone who has? Go.
Yeah.
What do you got to lose?
I've never seen a show there I've seen shows there I didn't like. But I've never seen a show there I didn't think was well done. Let's put it that way. You know, I don't like mysteries very much.
You go to a new restaurant. Do you go to the new restaurant? Sure you do. Do you try something different? Hopefully. Maybe you're going to like it, maybe you're not. But it seems to me that you can either be stuck and not ever do anything new, or you can go see what happens.
Okay. I like that. Tickets are on sale now at 1QCT.org or stop by the box office in the Oakley Lindsay Center. It opens up on March 13th. 14th, Pi Day. Runs that weekend, runs the next weekend. And there are tickets available. And we just encourage you to go and expand your mind and say hello to Katrina Plouffe, who will be celebrating her birthday that first night of the show. Let's everybody stand and applaud and give her the best welcome to Quincy we could possibly ever have. Delightful to meet you. If only you were outgoing and would come out of your shell, you could probably amount to something in your life. You could work on that, okay? We loved it.